Let's go tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 45. Got a wonderful message in here that I think will be a blessing to all of our hearts. And that's what we need tonight, is a blessing from the Lord. Genesis, chapter 45. Begin reading in verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brothers, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me father to Abraham, and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me host of all Egypt, Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou, thy household, and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Now this portion of scripture here is some of the most precious you'll find in the whole Word of God, I believe. This is really something. Let's begin by going back to the year 1716 B.C. That was the time when a miracle child was born into the house of Jacob to his wife Rebekah. A miracle child because Rebekah had been barren and unable to conceive. They named this little baby boy Joseph. He was the 11th son of Jacob at this time. And the first 17 years of Joseph's life, he was a shepherd boy. The next 10 years of his life, he was a servant, a slave in Egypt. The next 3 years of his life, he was a prisoner in Egypt. And at the age of 30, he became ruler in the land of Egypt. And Joseph ruled. He held that position for 80 years until he died in 1606 B.C. at the age of 110. Now that'll kind of give you the background for this. Another thing I want you to remember about Joseph is that there were several people who became God's instruments to shape and to mold his life and to make him what he was. First of all, he had a father that loved him. That was the beginning of his troubles. His father loved him more than he did the other boys and made no bones about it. Second thing was he had 11 brothers that hated him. So you got love and hate that are being used to mold his character. Then there were the Midianite merchant men who bought him from his brothers for 20 pieces of silver, hauled him down to Egypt, and sold him as a slave on the auction block. Then there was Captain Potiphar, who purchased him and made him a household servant in his home. Then there was Potiphar's wife, who tried to seduce him, and she lied against him and had him put in prison. Then in prison, there was the jailer who showed him favor. And while he was in jail, he met another man who was Pharaoh's butler, by whom he was almost forgotten. And then the other person who had a great deal to play in his life was Pharaoh himself, because he's the one who believed in Joseph. Think of this. Pharaoh had a dream. He dreamed about the famine that was coming upon the land for 7 years. And he didn't know what that dream meant. He mentioned it to his wise men. They didn't know either. They could not give him an interpretation of his dream. Finally, his butler said, "While I was in prison, I met a young man there that had the uncanny ability to interpret dreams." Pharaoh sent down to the prison and had this prisoner brought before him, the ruler of the kingdom of Egypt, consulting a prisoner from his jail. Pharaoh told him his dream. Joseph told him what it meant. And the strange thing about it is that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, believed what this convict said and took his word for it. There was something about it that rung true in his heart. And he's the one who had the faith to take this young man out of prison and set him over all the land of Egypt. Picture this. The year is 1677 BC. 3,688 years ago from now, I see an old man. He's 130 years old, sitting in a chair in the shade of a tree in front of his tent. He peers with his old eyes down the road, and in the distance he sees a long caravan of many ox-drawn wagons They're accompanied by 20 pack mules that are laden down with good things from the land of Egypt. Corn, bread, meat. And accompanying this caravan, he sees several men dressed in the silken finery of Egypt. And as they draw near, he recognizes them as his sons. And the first thing that they say to their daddy when they get there, they said, "Jacob is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt."
Amen.
It's enough to give the old man a heart attack. The message sounds incredible. His son Joseph had been reported dead 22 years before this. The Bible says that Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Then they told him the words of Joseph. And when he saw the wagons, grace overcame his unbelief. And he said, "I will go and see him before I die." And Israel took his journey with all that he had. And when he saw Joseph, his 17-year-old boy was now a 40-year-old man. He said, "Now let me die, for I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." Oh my goodness, can't you just see the glory in this? But I want to show you tonight, in a few minutes, how that Joseph, as a type of Christ, used his place of supremacy in the land of Egypt to be a blessing to all of those who submitted to him. Now I want to point out three ways that Joseph used his power after he was exalted to be ruler of Egypt. It's incredible, because we're talking about the land of Egypt, which within just the past few months has undergone a tremendous change in their administration down there. And they still don't have a settled form of government, I don't think. The Muslim Brotherhood has not yet taken over all control of it. That's what I think might happen in Egypt, praying that it will not, of course. But I want to show you how that Joseph, now exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, used his power and his authority to bring everything into absolute subjection to himself. Remember now that he is a type of Christ. And we're talking about Christ exalted. All of the wealth of the land of Egypt is going to pass into his hands. Now remember that they're in the second year of this famine. And all the people of Egypt are affected by this. During the first 7 years, there were 7 years of plenty. And after Joseph was put in charge, he had taken everything all that the land produced, and had the people still had plenty, but he stored it up. He stored it up for 7 years. And then, boom, the curtain dropped, and you've got 7 long years of famine. Now, the people were not prepared for it. Joseph was the only one who had made preparation for it. So the people came to Joseph and said, "We're hungry. We have no food. We have nothing." Joseph said, "Well, you've got money. Let me read it. Genesis 47:14. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. The people had food. They spent all their money for it. Pharaoh has all the money. The people have food. But after a while, the food was gone. They came back to Joseph and said, "Joseph, we're hungry again. We don't have any money to buy food. Give us bread. For why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." Joseph said, "Give your cattle." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph. I'm reading out of the scriptures. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. But when that year was ended, all their food that they had bought with their cattle is gone. They're hungry again. The famine is still on the land. They came to Joseph and said, "We will not hide it from my Lord how that our money is spent. My Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There's not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, and the land be not desolate." Joseph said, "That sounds like a good deal." So they brought the title deed to all of the property that they owned, and they endorsed it and signed it over to Joseph. Now Joseph has all of their money. He has all of their cattle, and he has title to all of their land. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field. Think about this. Joseph represents the government. The government has all of the money. all of their cattle, all of their land, and the famine is still on the land. The people are still in need of food. They have no money, they have no cattle, they have no land, they have nothing to bargain with. They gave themselves. And Joseph put them to work. He gave them seed to plant. And when the harvest came, here was the deal they'd made. They gave Pharaoh 20% of their crop, and they got to keep 80% of it. Pretty good deal, wasn't it? Bible says, and the people of Egypt prospered, even in the midst of a famine. That's a depression when it lasts that long. Listen, never before or since has anything like this happened. It is without precedent. It is without parallel in the history of the world. There was no revolution among the people. There was no rebellion. There was no voice of opposition that was raised. Let me throw this in for good measure. Today, as Christians who have been redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give God a tithe. A tithe is 10%. The Egyptians gave 20 and they had 80. We give God 10, He gives us 90. And the people of Egypt prospered, and we prosper. Why? Because our God opens the windows of heaven and pours us out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. And God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, let me point out another thing to you. I want you to notice that Joseph claimed all of this for Pharaoh and not for himself. He didn't take a penny of their money. He didn't take a calf out of their from amongst their cattle or a lamb. He didn't take title to any of the land. All the money went into Pharaoh's bank account. And all of the cattle went into Pharaoh's pasture. And all of the land, the title of all the land went into Pharaoh's name. None of it came for Joseph's self-advancement, but it was all for the glory of the ruler, Pharaoh. But Joseph's supremacy was used then for the blessing of his people. And the people were happy to have it, so read it. Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of our Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. Amen. They gave God all they had, so to speak, and became his servants, completely dependent upon him. Pharaoh's glory was maintained. The blessing was secured for the people, but only as they unreservedly submitted themselves to Joseph, who is a type of Christ. Now there are some great powers in heaven. We've got the cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, principalities and powers. There are great powers on earth, kings and presidents and dictators and all those who are in places of authority, the politicians, the police, the IRS, all the rest of them. There are great powers on earth. And there are great powers in the underworld, where you've got Satan and all of his angels and the demons and the evil spirits and such as that. But our Lord Jesus Christ has been set in a place of final and absolute authority over every power.
Amen.
Did he not say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth?
Amen.
Paul says in Ephesians 1:21, he is set far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Jesus Christ is supreme. Now, when we submit to Jesus Christ, God the Father is glorified and all of his people get blessed. Oh, how we long for the day of his power when he comes back to rule and to reign on this earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. It'll be that way again. The Bible says he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
Amen.
You know, the person who cannot see the exaltation of Christ here in Joseph's experience has to be spiritually blind. I would invite you to come and stand with me in that great throng of the redeemed, that blood-washed band of saints. We'll blend our voices in that great doxology of praise. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Yes.
And as for Israel, this is only one segment of his gracious dealings with them. They were not only saved by Joseph, the rejected one, but they prospered under Joseph, the exalted one. He placed them, we read it, in the best of the land of Goshen. The Bible says, and Joseph nourished them with bread, and they grew and multiplied exceedingly. The sequel to this story, one day Joseph said, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died 1606 B.C., being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. That coffin remained there with them for 144 more years. And then in 1462 B.C., when Moses came down from the burning bush and said to the Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. He led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And Exodus 13 verse 19 says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And now, 90 years later, in 1372 B.C., old Joseph is finally laid to rest after being in that coffin for 234 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Joshua 24, verse 32 says, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Joseph bought. And that's over there in Samaria, right close to where Jacob's well is. The world will say of Joseph, he's gone. But the Christian says, he's gone home. Amen. Sight may seem to end in a coffin in Egypt, but the eye of faith looks beyond the valley of the shadow of death to the home of God's eternal purpose. And in the presence of death, faith still rests on the God of resurrection. What a lesson we can learn from Joseph. What a blessing. That's the way God is going to run his kingdom when he comes. Jesus. There's a foretaste of it right there in the land of Egypt. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be here and to be able to open our Bibles and read these things from your book. They were written for our learning and for our admonition. So when we read these stories, these things that took place so many years ago, we say, that was written for me. I can learn something from this. Even as tonight we've learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that sustains and provides for us as we submit ourselves to him. No longer can we say, my money, my cattle, my lands, for they all belong to you. And we bring ourselves in humble submission and lay ourselves at your feet. Say, Lord, I'm yours. You bought me. Now take care of me. Sustain me. Feed me. Protect me. Be my guide. Be my constant companion. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us and for the grace that you bestow upon us so freely day after day after day.
Amen.
We appreciate you. And we appreciate this opportunity that we have to meet together as blood-bought brothers and sisters in Christ to share with one another the wonderful things of God. Bless now your people. Lead, guide, and direct us through the remainder of this week. And bring us back Wednesday night for a good Bible study. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you.